I am Peter. I'm one of the original disciples, the 12 who followed Jesus. I was called from being a fisher of fish to become a fisher of people. James and John and Andrew and I followed Jesus along with the other disciples, and we never wanted the journey to end. No one of us wanted it to stop. Even after 3 years of being in ministry with him, we did not want for it to end. But I blew it. And I need to tell you about it. I've always been one to speak my mind. I sort of let my mouth run before I think. And so I was quick to speak my mind. I was the first to confess that Jesus was the Christ. And just after I said that, Jesus started talking with us about the fact that he was going to have to die. And I said, no, there is no way that we're going to let anything happen to you. I will protect you. And he looked at me and he said, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking human thoughts and not divine. Whoa. He was so tough. What was I supposed to do? What was I supposed to think? I'm only human. When we had been at the Mount of Transfiguration, I remember I wanted to just stay there. The opposition was growing within the community, and I wanted to stay up on Mount Hermon and just make it a safe place. Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah, and I went over and tapped him on the shoulder, and he didn't turn. Would you turn if you were talking to Moses and Elijah? So I tapped him again, and I just wanted to ask him, you know, it's almost as if you're a parent, and I think in today's world it would be like you're a parent, and you are talking to President Joe and First Lady, Jill Biden, and suddenly your child walks up and interrupts you because she can't get the video game to load on the iPhone, whatever that is. So this crowd was around Jesus, and John and the others of us were following him. James, we said, when he asked who people were saying he was, we were saying, you are, some say John the Baptist, some say another prophet, maybe Jeremiah. And so all I wanted to do was just build tents up on the Mount Hermon and just stay away from all the threats that were going on down in the villages. But Jesus had a different idea. He decided to go right into the midst of everything. We were being accused of being a 12-member gang that was following this rebel, this criminal. And the leaders were trying to figure out how to catch him and put him to death. We were right in the middle of it. We could have gone back north. We could have gone anywhere. But Jesus had us right in the middle. So the time for the Passover came. And as we were together there, thousands of people had come to Jerusalem for this festival. And so we were coming in the triumphal entry, and people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. I knew that he was the Messiah, but I didn't really get it. I didn't understand what it was going to require of him. I didn't understand that he was going to be killed. So we went into the temple every single day. We went into the temple. In one of those trips, Jesus flipped over the tables of the money changers. Not a great way to make friends. But we kept going right into the heat of everything, and he kept on teaching and teaching. And so then on Thursday night, we had a meal together, our final meal with Jesus. And he started a new tradition. He took bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to us, and he poured out the cup and shared that with us. And then he began to speak about the fact that he was going to be betrayed by one of us who would be dipping in the cup with him. Who? let me at him. Who was going to betray Jesus? Well, then somebody started talking about who was greatest in the kingdom, and I got much more interested in that because I'm sure I was the greatest among the disciples because I hung out with Jesus a lot. And so I'm sure that I was the greatest, and we were arguing back and forth about whoever was the greatest, but I never did hear him say that those who wish to lead must be willing to serve. Those who lead must serve. I was just jabbering, which is my practice. I don't know if you ever have done that, like your mouth goes into high gear. I was talking to Pastor Fred this morning, and he said that in the fourth grade, his report card, the teacher wrote on it, talks too much. That's me. I'm that person. And so I'm talking with the other disciples, and we're jabbering, and Jesus says to us, to me, Simon. Simon, he calls me by my real name. Simon. Simon. You know, parents mean that they really want to say something to you when they call you by your real name. Anna Elizabeth. Jonathan Michael. Simon. Simon, listen to me. Listen. It was Jesus' very nice way of saying, close your mouth. Listen, Satan will sift you like wheat, and after you have been defeated, my prayer is that you will recover and strengthen the faith of believers. What? Jesus, there is no way. I will defend you to your death. There is no way that anything is ever going to happen to you. I'm willing to die for you. And then Jesus looked at me, you know, that kind of look that looks right through your eyes and down into your heart. And he looked at me and he said, Peter, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you know me. What? That sent me into a tailspin. He always spoke the truth. So, how was I going to deny him? I couldn't hear anything else that he was saying. I was just so upset. We went out to the Mount of Olives, and when we gathered there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said that he wanted to pray, but he wanted us to stay with him and to wait and watch with him. And we were so tired. We were so exhausted. Everything was getting so dark and gloomy and scary, and I was so scared. And have you ever been that way, depressed or just hit with overwhelming grief to the point where you just fall asleep? You can't get out of the bed. He came back to us and asked, why are you sleeping? And he went and prayed again, and we fell asleep again. We were so exhausted, so grief-stricken, so depressed. And he woke us in time for us to witness his arrest. And there came the temple police and the scribes and the leaders and Judas right in front of them. Judas was the betrayer. He was betraying Jesus. How dare he? I got all upset, pulled my sword out. I chopped the ear off of a slave. I was just furious. And Jesus was a pacifist. Jesus saw that there was no value in a violent, brutal response. Why didn't he resist? They took him. And I followed in the shadows. I thought that I could walk with him, but I couldn't. I couldn't walk with him or protect him. I thought I would die with him, but I was so absolutely frightened. Have you ever been so frightened that you sort of freeze in place, that you just can't do anything? But you got to remember, at least I followed. You know, the other disciples, my wonderful group, was hiding in the olive groves of Gethsemane. I followed. But then, you know the story. You could probably tell it better than I. This little kid began to gather sticks and throw them on the fire. And as he threw them on the fire, I was sitting there trying to stay in the shadows. And a servant girl looked at me because those flames leapt up. And she looked at me and said, "Hey, you're one of them. You're one of Jesus's followers." And I said, "Girl, I do not know him." "Oh, flames, please go down." But they leapt up again, and a man said, You are one of them. You're one of the followers." And I said, "I do not know him." So rather than stay there and be accused further, I just slipped away into the shadows. And as I was over in the darkness, why is it that people tend to kick us when we are down? Why is it that a parent will verbally abuse a child who has made a bad grade on a test, or brothers will gloat over the failings of their siblings? Why is it that we kick one another when we are down? I'm off in the shadows, on the edge of the porch, trying to be quiet, and suddenly a man comes up and says, "You are one of the disciples. You have a Galilean accent." And I looked at him and I said, "If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. I do not know Jesus of Nazareth." And then there was this shrill sound. It pierced the night. The sound of a rooster crowing slowly. I can never hear that sound without remembering that he said I would betray him. And I did. I went off into the darkness, but not before looking back and seeing that Jesus looked right through the darkness at me. Even though they were spitting on him and mocking him and slapping him and abusing him, he stared at me. I was absolutely inconsolable. Sometimes, often, agony precedes the thrill of victory. And that was the case with me. I went through the agony of hearing that rooster crow, and I will never hear a rooster announcing the beginning of morning without thinking of that night. What did I learn? What would I, Peter, want you to learn from me? First, be prepared for challenges. I was not prepared. I was not ready for what I was about to face. Certainly, I am human, and I know you wonder how you would have handled the situation, but be prepared for challenges as they come. Secondly, don't be overconfident. I was cocky. I was overconfident. I was sure that I would never betray him. That's why you have it in your book that's attributed to me, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Don't be overconfident. Third, don't draw too close to trouble. I got too close to the flames, too close to the light. I wanted to blend in. Friends, don't try to blend in. For as I wrote in 1 Peter, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't try to blend in. Don't get too close to trouble. And finally, follow Jesus closely. When we don't follow closely, we become isolated. We become vulnerable. Following him closely means that we will look at a friend who is going through a tough time and we will believe her. We will encourage her. We will stand with her. We will go with her. For in doing that, you are following Jesus closely. I was a coward that night. I made mistakes, and I know you wonder what you would have done in that situation. We are all human, but I know that grace also abounds. Grace is where God gives us a second chance. King David was given a second chance. Jonah was given a second chance. Mary Magdalene was given a second chance. And on Easter Sunday, I'll share with you how Peter was given a second chance. But for now, my dear friends, thank you for listening to me, for accepting me, for loving me, even with my big mouth and my bigger mistakes. I love you all. Let us pray. Jesus, forgive our failures. Help us live for you. Amen.